WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Hey, this is Becky Baylor.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
What the hell's that noise?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Hey, there were three of you. Who's the other guy?
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WWE on Sunday night.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling with your hosts, Tim Stein.
Anything goes wrong, I call abort, everybody walk away.
Heartbreak Mike.
Hey, I'm a slave of the month.
The Omega.
An unreliable fellow is out of call, constantly late.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Can we get a cappuccino machine in here?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
I'm Austin Aries.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I have seen the earth. I know where you live.
WTR Sunday Night.
And welcome everyone to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The 2019 Royal Rumble event began about 43 hours ago.
All right, time for the WrestleMania pre-show. Let's go.
We're just now we actually get to talk about it. Like, good Lord, WWE, stop making these pay-per-views so long. Oh my god, we might be breezing through a lot of this.
And there's a stat. The men's Royal Rumble was 15 minutes shorter than the women's. Thank god.
Yeah. Okay, so obviously we have a lot to talk about. So we're going to begin. I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our network. Joining me tonight, Heartbreak Mike.
Rage.
It's late. We're going through the motions.
Playing all the hits.
Yeah. All of it.
Playing all the hits.
And speaking of the golden oldies, the one and only Tim Stein.
Oh my god, I can't get to... We're going to have words later.
Because you were a disc jockey. What?
Sure. Let's go with that one. All right. Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. That's right. I used to be a disc jockey. Could you tell? And now, another one. Where were you when this was number one?
Omega. This is on you.
God damn it. This is all your fault.
This is all your fault. I blame you. All emails go to Omega, tweets, whatever, at TJ Omega for that.
Unless you go to Facebook, then you can bitch at him under TJ Reviews.
There you go. There you go.
I got it right.
You mean we don't have to plug afterwards?
No, we have a long show to get to. They're going to have to hear them at the end, too.
Welcome to the shortest pay-per-view review webcast of the year.
Probably not, because there's a lot to get to.
Holy shit, what a pay-per-view tonight. Top to bottom, the only complaint I have is something we'll get to.
Okay, I enjoyed this show. I did not need Bobby Roode and Chad Gable versus Rezar and Scott Dawson at 5:45 tonight. I did not need that. But we had that match on the pre-show. Why? Who knows? It was to Rezar needed a partner because Akam is hurt. So Scott Dawson was the partner because they want title shots. So if they won, they would get title shots. They lost.
What kind of mixed match challenge?
The mixed match challenge would have been interesting. The only thing interesting about this was the cameraman fell during the Roode and Gable entrance. Let's be real.
Yeah, it's about as average as a tag team match gets, and then you have the fact that one of them wasn't even a team.
I'm going to paste in the Skype chat what my notes were for this match. Would you like to read them, Omega?
Let's see. Bobby Roode and Chad Gable versus Razor and Scott Dawson. AVG match. So apparently you picked up a virus at some point. Winners, Roode and Gable.
Those were notes.
I see what you did there.
Those were
notes. I switched to advanced, though.
Average match. That's it. All
it's
was.
So average, you couldn't spell average.
Nope.
Couldn't be bothered to have that many keystrokes.
The match wasn't good enough to warrant the use of extra letters.
Correct. All right.
I'm guessing. I didn't see it.
It was.
You get one vowel. That's yeah, it.
That's it. And I had to spin the wheel to earn the money to get that vowel. Anyway.
Well, then you should have used the R.
Our next contest is the United States Championship match. Shinsuke Nakamura and Rusev. Rusev is impressive with his almost jackhammer-like deadlift suplex. That was cool.
I forget he's actually strong.
Yeah, you kind of forget that.
Really.
Finish, Solana, get up on the apron going, he's cheating, he's cheating, he's cheating. She's pointing with her shoe, he's cheating. I was waiting for her to throw the shoe, because that's the spot, you throw the shoe. Like, I thought she was going to throw it to Rusev so he could cheat.
And she doesn't throw the shoe.
She doesn't. Instead, she gets knocked off the apron, and he goes, Lana! And then we go, Kinshasa! and new United States champion, Shinsuke Nakamura.
It's such an awkward spot because the ref is right there looking at Lana, and you have to imagine he has absolutely no peripheral vision notice the guy taking the turnbuckle pad off.
Nope. Well, it's Lana, and you can get distracted by Lana. Let's be real.
I mean, she was barefoot after all.
I mean, so last night we know certain people in NXT have a foot fetish. Maybe the... Anyway. Big announcement coming on the pre-show. Next week.
Shit happens.
During the halftime show of the Super Bowl, you'll have Halftime Heat.
On the WWE Network and YouTube.
And Facebook and Twitter and whatever.
And any other platform that can get it out there.
Aleister Black, Velveteen Dream, and Ricochet versus Tommaso Ciampa, Adam Cole, and Johnny Gargano. Should be a fun six-man tag.
Yeah. There's a lot of good in that match.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be live from the Performance Center.
Are they going to green screen it into a stadium?
I don't think they're going to green screen it into a stadium.
God damn it, WWE.
They're not going overseas for that one. Cruiserweight title is on the line. Buddy Murphy, Akira Tozawa, Hayao Itami, and Kalisto. Really good.
Yeah, 205 Live goes all out.
Yeah, it's 205 Live.
When I previewed the show on Thursday, I was like, you're going to see a lot of kicks, you're going to see a lot of flips, a lot of stupid things they shouldn't be doing, and you got all that. We continued the trend from last night, Omega. We were having wrestlers throw other wrestlers into each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's weapons. Good match. People were trying really hard, Mike, to get Hideo Itami over as the guy. Hey, it's finally going to be his time. It's going to be his time.
It's never Hideo's time.
It almost.
Never.
It was almost, no. It was almost this time.
It was almost a lot of people's time, but we're going to get to that later.
He can't make it his time, or he'll injure himself again.
Like they made sure he's now finally on a roll. Like he's been wrestling healthy for a while, and that's true. He hasn't been hurt in over a year or two, but he's not a thing anymore. Anyway, Buddy Murphy retained the title.
Ugh.
Not a fan?
Hey, he's finally gotten something.
Yeah, so. Like Buddy is solid in the ring. He's a really good performer. And again, I mean he's doing it to cruiserweights, but really powerful.
Yeah.
Now we get to the main show. Something that started 5 hours ago as we're doing the show. SmackDown Women's Championship, Asuka versus Becky Lynch. They came out. And decided to steal the show early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can make us the curtain jerker. We're going to make you regret it.
This was really, really good.
It was.
There was one spot. I think Tim saw the spot. The twisting fisherman suplex off the ring apron.
Did I see that one?
That was brutal.
I think so. I think that's one of the early spots you saw.
Isn't that the one that where I said that looked scary? They pulled it off really, really good. Yep. They made it look fantastic. Nobody got hurt,
no.
But it sure looked like it was painful.
That was the spot. Yeah.
That looks like it should have separated Becky's shoulder.
Yeah, in regular time. Did you get a chance to see it in slow motion on the replay?
Yeah.
She landed perfectly. It was awesome.
No surprise she landed perfectly, but it was like one of those, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely a high-risk move.
We had the Super Bexploder from the top rope, which was nice. And I like they both went after each other's submissions.
Yeah,
I like the string of just trading submissions back and forth.
It was really good.
And trading submissions.
And then it turned out to be an Asuka lock with a bridge. And Becky Lynch taps out clean in the middle.
Wow.
Asuka retains her title.
I take a little issue with that just because of, you know, how the rest of the night went.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would not have shown her tapping. Like, I wish, let her pass out on the spot. Don't tap her.
Please.
I don't know. It's out of character for her.
It is, but she was bested, and I think that's the one thing you can say. She was bested by a better wrestler that night, and I think she can accept that, and I think down the line, that's something you can play off of.
Yeah, you see, there's nothing wrong with losing honorably. There's always a chance for you to build something off of it. You don't have to have a gimmick finish on something like this.
I don't mean to have like a gimmick finish. I mean, just it would have made Becky look stronger if she didn't tap.
Well, passing out would have been a gimmick finish. But I will tell you this, there is one thing that happened tonight that I think that I would have liked it better had it been a win via passing out on a submission as opposed to tapping. We'll get there.
We'll get there. Up next, the SmackDown Tag Team titles are on the line. The Bar versus the best tag team in the world, The Miz. And Shane McMahon, Omega, Mrs. Jersey, go.
Yes, so Mrs. Jersey said Miz and Mac.
So it wasn't just me that, oh my god.
It's a play on Mac and Me, which is an actual movie. It's a horrible movie.
Question, do you think he knew that?
I don't know.
Sure.
I mean,
I personally...
I mean, he's the Hollywood type. It would be completely in character, but...
Yeah, no, I personally think that maybe he watched that episode of Friends where Joey got the lead role in the TV show Mac and Cheese. And he was playing off of that instead of Mac and Me.
Uh-huh.
Or just Shane O'Mac and Miz. Anyway, this was a good tag team match. Like, it was really enjoyable to watch. Could they have trimmed, like, 3 or 4 minutes off of it? Yeah. There was one spot where Shane went coast to coast and smacked his head, and then it's like, hey, giant swing time, and you just see him, he's holding his head the entire time during the swing.
Well, everyone holds their heads during the swing.
Oh, I know that.
It's either that or let your arms flail out and lose feeling in your shoulders.
Oh, yeah, but it's just, you just grab onto it, and he was like, it was right when he banged his head, he grabbed it first, and I was like, oh, okay, he smacked his head pretty good first. Then we had the 49-year-old Shane McMahon go to the top rope and drop a shooting star press and an elbow to the nuts for Shane McMahon and The Miz to become SmackDown Tag Team Champions. If you watch it, his elbow goes right into the nuts of Cesaro. But it's cool. Shane McMahon and Miz are champs. It's something. It's a good match.
The other part I like is how often Miz tries to goad Shane into making giant dives.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to be your partner, but I also subtly want to kill you.
Yeah. So, there was that. There were 48,193 supposed people in attendance for the Royal Rumble.
Supposed.
Supposed. We won't know for sure, but 48,193. Okay. Then we have the Raw Women's Championship, Rowdy Ronda Rousey and Sasha Banks.
The crowd was really behind Sasha.
Yeah.
They were behind both. It was like it was a nice split crowd. This was, I know Omega thought this was awkward, and it was.
There were some really strange spots in this one.
But that's what, to me, made it good for this reason. It's not a wrestling... Ronda's match is not a traditional wrestling match. It's more of a fight, and fights aren't always clean.
I mean, it's fine, but when you're actually performing wrestling, like, you have a spot where Sasha's bouncing off the ropes, and it looks like she's setting up something really big, and then she just kind of lands on her feet, pauses for a second, and then pulls her arm down into the knees.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell was the build-up for? You didn't add a fuck bit of momentum to that.
Well, I think it was probably because they've kind of forgot a couple spots.
I mean, Ronda's matches are rehearsed ahead of time.
Yeah, but when you get into the heat of the moment, you have a brain fart.
But it didn't take away from the match, because this was good.
I mean, when it was good, it was good. There's just some parts where I don't think they gelled very well.
Mm-mm. Like, some of the mistakes you saw, but they cleaned it up.
Well, here it is. Overall, for a first-time match between two women who have never fought before, you gotta find the chemistry. It's gonna happen. Overall, this, really didn't take away from the match, bottom line, in my opinion, anyway.
It was good selling, good submissions, physical. I do not like that her spinning Samoan drop type move is called the Piper's Pit. Cole screwed it up one time calling it, it was like, he called it Rowdy. For whatever reason, like, the move never had a name, and now it's like, it's Piper's Pit, which is fine if you want to pay tribute. It's just an awkward name to scream. She just hit the Piper's Pit. It's awkward
and it's confusing to have two completely different things in the WWE named Piper's Pit.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there. Just trying it on. No?
No, that one didn't work.
Okay.
That one didn't work.
Right.
But Ronda picked up the win with the Piper's Pit. She didn't go for the armbar, but Sasha worked that arm pretty good, like bending it back and everything. Like, it's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you saw her bend it so hard. Like, Ronda showed the pain and everything that you want to see. You wanted to see all that. It was done, and then you had a sign of respect in the ring.
Ronda was holding on to Sasha's hand for like a solid minute there.
You're just sitting there. You're just waiting.
I'm waiting for something to happen.
So Ronda then gets to kiss her husband. Sasha comes back. They shake hands again. And she puts up the sign of the Four Horsewomen.
Meh.
It's building something.
Gotta get that set up in.
Building something. Somewhere.
Meh.
Not a fan, Mike?
I mean, no. I am a fan. It's... When are they going to pull the trigger? I mean, granted, I hope to God not WrestleMania.
No.
We know
Mania.
Half of the other horsewomen need a little bit more time in NXT.
Well, this is Vince we're talking about, so no one knows right now.
And we already know what WrestleMania is. We're gonna get
we know what Becky's going to be doing, so it's not going to be Mania.
Yeah. So, but I just got to see how it all plays out. You know, I just got to see how the story is developed. That's just me.
It's a nice little tease. It's a reminder. That's all it is. It's a reminder. So there you go. All right. Time for the Women's Royal Rumble.
Fun.
I am happy this one wasn't as reliant on legends. Like, it's great to have a lot of names from the past involved in the first one, but I'm happy that we just had a lot of people in company for this.
Yeah, it was... You didn't bring anyone back, I don't think. No.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement with you on this one, Omega. I mean, I'm watching it, and I'm like, okay, who's the famous legend from the past that's going to surprise show up? Who's going to do it?
Technically, Maria.
She's still on the roster. I know.
She hasn't done anything in a year or more. She certainly hasn't been in a match.
I mean, granted, you know, she did kind of like pop a kid.
Well, yeah, but that was a while back, and she's wrestled since, Mike.
She was at she was at Evolution. I mean, so there was that. So there's all that. Now we get into the Rumble match itself. I was waiting for the thing to load up. All right, number one, Lacey Evans.
I can see why they put her in there, but man,
yeah.
That's a really weird spot to put a relative newcomer to the WWE.
Yeah, not only that, I think she should have been wearing green because she sure looked it.
Yeah.
She's not ready. She needed more time.
Sloppy.
Then, in our Royal Rumble entry contest, Tim Stein got Natalya at number two.
You want to talk irony?
Yeah.
That was amusing.
It's a big. It's going to say something. when Lacey Evans is in the ring with Natalya and Natalya can't make her look good.
Yeah. This is,
yeah. Natalya can make everybody good. Well, unless your name's Lacey Evans.
Then you had Mandy Rose and Liv Morgan. Tim was starting to see a theme in this matchup.
Oh my God. Can we just like move on from all the blondes?
Liv got shot put out of the ring.
Yeah,
she did. She came back and made her mark later, but yeah.
But she's still blonde.
She's still blonde. Mickie James, Ember Moon, Billy Kay, who I'm waiting for Payton. I'm just gonna stand here and wait. I'm gonna wait for Payton. I'm not gonna get involved. I'm just gonna stand
here. I kinda wanted Payton to be like number 28. Just have her stand the whole time.
He's ever sit out there, yeah. And, adjusting the chat room. Yeah. Liv has pink hair. Her roots are blonde. Her hair is blonde. The pink is just, you know, it washes out at the end of the night. It's not even permanent dye. Call her strawberry blonde. So there. Shish.
I feel like I heard that somewhere before.
Well, you read it somewhere before about 4.5 hours ago.
Then you had Nikki Cross. And she got a hell of a pop.
I popped.
Nikki's going to be something special on that roster.
I like Nikki. I'm going to have a lot of fun watching her.
Yeah. Especially when in the ring with someone like Lacey and Natalya and Mickey is like, she's just so different from everybody else.
I love her facial expressions.
Nikki at any time looks like she's just ready to go cannibal.
Yep. Then you had Peyton Royce. Then you had Tamina.
Can we please stop putting Tamina in wrestling matches?
Stop putting Tamina anywhere on TV?
She's had two bad knees. You can tell.
Just the way she walks.
Yeah. She's never been the greatest in-ring performer. She's older now with two bad knees.
You know, Rock, before her knee injuries, she was adequate. I mean, she was never going to be the superstar her dad was.
No, and that's what I'm saying.
Of course not.
But she was adequate.
I know she was passable for that era, but she was never the greatest in-ring performer. And time has taken a toll, and there's more talent out there.
Yeah, yeah. She's just not keeping up with everybody. Like the division has passed her a long time ago.
Zia Lee, Sarah Logan, Charlotte Flair, 13, yes.
Sia, like. It's so unfortunate because she has such great offense, but she was with Tamina for so much of this.
Zia Lee, I didn't know what to expect. And then just out of nowhere, just going at it. And I was like, wow, really good.
Kairi Sane, my number was 15, so I got Maria Kanellis. All right, that's a start. She was the best of the two picks I had, so that's good. Naomi's number 16. She eliminated Mandy Rose. Throughout this matchup, Corey Graves was fawning over Mandy Rose. And at one point, Renee Young called him a pervert. That was a thing. It's a thing that happened.
I did not notice it trending.
I don't think it trended, but I heard it on TV.
He does kind of get a little bit creepy with the Mandy obsession.
Yeah.
Well, you know, wait a second. I can't say really that he gets creepy. Perverted, yes. He's not old enough to be creepy. You got to be like 40 or older.
Oh, no. New guys in high school are just the creepiest sons of bitches you could run into.
No, that's sleazy.
Then you had Candice LeRae. Nice surprise. Alicia Fox, someone else who could probably not get in the ring anymore. We'd be cool with it.
Alicia's fine. Her characters are not. I don't know what the fuck she was doing.
Her there. Royal Rumble entrance made me cringe.
It's not the entrance. It's the tantrum in the middle of the Royal Rumble over a hat.
I mean, I mean, if that's her gimmick, so what? Cool. I mean, of course, I'm upset with that too, but it's like...
We'll talk about that, Mike.
Alicia Fox is the reason that people get made fun of for being wrestling fans. It's like, that was just all of the, like, I'm embarrassed to watch this happening.
Then you had Casey Catanzaro. She was impressive.
God, she is amazing.
That was your number, right?
That was my number. I'm, you know, no chance of winning, but I'm happy with that number because, like, seeing her in the Mae Young Classic was phenomenal, and she showed off so much here.
Absolutely. Loved it.
Like, her recovery back into the ring, just walking on her hands and...
That was great.
Clamping onto the ring post. Yeah.
Like, she showed how flexible she was, and you can see why she did well in the American Ninja Warrior.
Yes. Incredibly acrobatic.
Oh, should have mentioned Mike had number 4 and he had Liv Morgan, so...
Shut up.
There was that.
At least it was short.
At least I set a record.
Shut up.
You had Zelina Vega hiding under the ring at one point.
Zelina, who came out actually dressed as Vega. Vega from Street Fighter.
Yeah. Business picked up. Ruby Riott came out with Sarah Logan and Lacey Evans, Liv Morgan, I should say. And they went after people. They just started beating on people for a while, including Zelina Vega. That's why she hid under the ring.
Zelina was fun to watch throughout the match. Just poke her head out and start laughing at people who landed.
Dana Brooke, Io Shirai, Rhea Ripley was in this match. And she tore through a bunch of people. She was impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was when Rhea threw someone out, and then Zelina poked her head out and started making a face, and then out of nowhere came the man who lives under the ring, Hornswoggle.
Was he pissed off that she invaded his crawl space? What?
I think
so. Oh, no. He wanted to invade her crawl space.
Oh.
Okay. God,
that was creepy. Actually, it was pretty fucking funny.
So, yeah, she was running around, jumping up on top of tables, getting away from him, like the mom of the house in a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
Yeah, the freaky thing is, she's not all that much taller than him. He's a bona fide midget. You know, little person.
Glad you clarified that one, Tim.
Yeah.
Rhea Ripley then got rid of Zelina Vega at that point when she ran in the ring, and then Hornswoggle continued to chase Zelina Vega. Sonya Deville, Alexa Bliss returned to the ring. You had Bayley get involved. She looked impressive in this matchup. She got a couple of good eliminations.
Yeah, she chalked up 3, and she looked like NXT Bayley again.
I just want to back up a little bit with Alexa Bliss's return. She has picked up a couple of new moves, and she looks even better than before.
Okay.
Just putting it out there.
Okay. Then you had, going backwards to the pre-show, so Lana got knocked off the ring apron and injured her ankle. So out comes Lana, and she hobbles.
She was walking to the ring so slowly, I expected Druids to follow her.
Nia Jax would come out.
She was walking slower than that.
Nia Jax would come out, attack her some more. Carmella would get in the ring. And then everyone's like, okay, whatever. And out came Becky Lynch going, I want in. Fit, can I get in? Fit, please, please, please.
She's hard to fit because Lana wasn't even halfway up the ramp.
Fit, I want her spot. Can I have her spot? Can I?
Please? Let me in. I want to take it. Let me go to the ring.
And the two Irish conspiring with each other.
In years past, I think it was like 1998, when one of the DOA got hurt, injured backstage, he just didn't come out and his spot was vacated. This year, they let Becky Lynch into the ring.
I mean, there's also precedent for just eliminating somebody as they come out and taking their spot. Oh, spoilers.
Yeah, but... So, Becky Lynch gets in the ring, and she got right into Nia's face, which was fun to see. This was a really good Rumble. It came down to Bayley, Nia, Charlotte, and Becky. Bayley goes first, then they get Nia in the ring. And Becky's on the outside, and she gets attacked, and she's hurting, and she's grabbing her knee, and she's like, can I get in? I'm gonna get in. Like, yeah, the crowd, like, trying to root her on.
Yeah, like, I love the B-plot of Becky just ruining Nia Jax's life.
Mm-hmm. Think about this. 4 or 5 months ago, what was Becky Lynch?
Nothing.
No, she was a heel, remember? Summer after SummerSlam, she was the heel, right? We didn't know what they were, the story they were telling. She was the heel, right? Supposedly?
I would argue she was never a heel.
But they were doing heel actions with
her.
They
wanted her to be, but she wasn't.
And now they're making her the underdog, fighting through injury. It's amusing how they write. So Becky overcomes.
It's weird they thought they had to go with an injury angle on her to make her the underdog when she already, she was already in an intense match.
Yeah. So Charlotte worked over the knee, worked over the knee, worked over the knee. Made one big mistake. Becky capitalized. Becky Lynch wins the Royal Rumble. All right, show's over. Felt like it.
Well, the Women's Rumble is.
It felt like it. That should have been the close.
Well, at this point, the show had been going on forever already.
It was 10 o'clock. So, we were good.
It was a good normal-sized pay-per-view. All right, let's turn on the Skype and get the WTR set up.
No.
Oh, wait.
Wait. All right.
We have two championship matches and another Rumble to go. Yeah.
All right, overall thoughts on this Rumble match, Mike?
It was good. God damn it, Lacey Evans. That was my only gripe. I give it a 8 out of 10.
Overall thoughts, Tim?
The Women's Rumble this year was absolutely fantastic. One of the things that made it as good as it was the compete level with all of the women. Another one was it didn't get all gimmicked up with returning legends, which was real pleasant. Couple of minor hiccups to me. Having Becky enter, that was a surprise. If I had thought that she was going to be an entrant, I would have picked her because, as it was, you know, without her, it probably would have been Charlotte. But I liked the outcome of it.
Omega?
I would call this the best women's rumble of all time. I'm not incorrect. I mean,
you also don't have a large sample size to choose from.
Shut it. There are a few in here like Lacey and you know Lacey and Tamina that probably shouldn't have been in this match because they are green or broken down. But you know, we didn't pack it full of legends who hadn't been in the ring in over a decade. You know, we didn't have those legends taking up eliminations. We didn't have Kelly.
Holla.
You know, and we got to see some really cool stuff. We got some people from NXT we don't normally get to see. Casey was amazing. Zaya showed some really good stuff. Rhea was a beast.
I want to see more of Casey. I want to see her actually.
Yeah, I really want NXT to start utilizing her because there's some amazing stuff she can do.
And she's going to have that fan base that will get behind her. She has that spunk of an underdog that.
Mm-hmm.
People get behind.
At one point in the Women's Rumble, I asked you, Rock, if Charlotte and Natty were in there as long as they were, just to get the rest of the girls, you know, to give them the rub. Because at one point, those were the two heavyweights. I mean, like the big names. Everybody else was like the call ups or Super Green or just out of NXT or whatever.
They were just the talent. So yeah, I know. So, there you go. That was the Royal Rumble. That's it. Okay.
Next. Because there is a next, and you know it.
Mm.
Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles for the WWE Championship. I felt bad for them because this crowd was spent.
Which is too bad because if you're going to give me Daniel versus AJ and deliver this match every time, I want one at least once a month.
It was very enjoyable. It was technically sound, but
technically it was exceptionally well put together. But God, it felt so slow.
Yeah, it was after the emotional moment, and like you go to the Universal title match, which we'll talk about in a minute, and how fast and paced that was. This was a real slowdown, and I don't think that's what the crowd needed at the point. I don't think they needed that slowdown.
No, well, with who's involved in the match, it's AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. We've seen them put on much faster-paced matches than this.
Yeah.
You know, in my opinion, I don't think it needed to be any faster-paced than it was.
I mean, on one hand, they're coming off the Women's Rumble and, you know, everyone exploding over Becky. You know, so you could make an argument that a little bit of a slowdown was kind of necessary for people to catch their breath, but this... I don't know. This felt like I was waiting for them to get out of first gear, and just it took them a long time to do it.
For me, it lent to the idea of the buildup of you know they're just building up to it. They're building up to it. They're giving you that anticipation. There's your chance to catch your breath after what we just saw, and then okay, are you ready? Here we go.
I just don't think they ever got where you need it to go at that point. But it was enjoyable. It was in the wrong place on the show, it just felt like. And then there was a moment.
Yeah, that's a way to describe it, and certainly.
Eric Rowan, in street clothes, walks down to the ring and people go, what? Ref takes a bump. Eric Rowan gets in the ring. Choke slams AJ Styles by the face, slams him into the mat. Referee gets back up. Daniel Bryan beats AJ Styles thanks to Eric Rowan? Question mark?
I didn't get this at all.
Explain, Mike.
I stared in confusion. Cause I was in here, I was like, okay,
what's he doing there? Are we missing something?
Yeah, literally, like, what's going on?
That's good though. It's good. We don't know what's going on, so that's good.
Well, we'll see how it goes, but, yeah.
Yeah, you say it's good, but it's nice to have some idea.
I made the joke that Roan was coming back to bring Daniel back to the cult, and it might be the other way around.
I read this on Twitter. I forget who said it. This was a 5-year plan from Daniel Bryan. He finally took over the Wyatt family. He just waited this long to hatch the plan. It just happened. He got Eric Rowan now.
Yeah, that's good.
So that's the thing. But he, in reality, you could think Daniel Bryan starting a cult of his own, in a way.
Is it a cult of personality?
It's a cult of tree huggers.
And that's probably what it is. His planet tears.
So is he going to start calling himself Captain Planet now?
No, he needs 5 for that.
Oh, gotcha.
Well, you can find more bearded people in NXT.
Yeah.
Well, isn't Kevin Owens...
Let's get the War Raiders up.
Let the good times roll.
Thanks for the follow, High Spot 2002. That's what that sound was. Yeah, so...
Kevin Owens due back at some point, isn't he?
But he's not. He's not a follower. You need follow.
No, but he can be a suck-up. He's done it before.
No, you need... Follower. Hey, for Daniel Bryan being a heel now, it's always good to have a bodyguard by your side. And Eric Rowan can do that. He definitely can do that. Mm-hmm. Then we get to the WWE Universal Championship match. Brock Lesnar and Finn Balor. Finn Balor was shot out of a cannon. And they went for 8.5 minutes, and Finn was moving around the entire time, and holy crap, it was a lot of fun.
The match was better than I had every right to expect it to be.
Like, you can talk about maybe it should have been longer, but because it's a title match and only went 8.5 minutes, some people could argue it could have gone longer.
Yeah, I was able to let myself 100% believe that Brock really hurt his damn self on the corner of the announce table.
This match was all about Lesnar being attacked at his diverticulitis. That's what this match was. Finn focused on the diverticulitis. It's a thing.
He worked his diverticulitis.
He did. I mean, that was a thing. This was good. Finn made it believable. Brock sold like hell for Finn Balor.
You know, people pick on Brock because he's Brock, and they ignore stuff like that, Omega. I was wondering if I left you speechless there.
I really wish Brock had more than like 3 moves this whole match. Because this felt like the offense was like 95% Finn.
But that's okay.
It's not okay, because it means Finn went down in like less than been about 6 hits.
But he got caught. What happened was he got caught. Like, that's the thing. He didn't go down, he got caught. And he got caught in the Kimura, and he tapped out. Like,
yeah, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the way this match finished. It was really great. And the whole thing wasn't Brock's a monster and he's going to destroy you. It's like, can Finn hang with him? And, you know, like, here's the thing. Brock actually wanted to work with Finn. That's how come this match got set up. It was Brock's wish.
Here is where you can have the problem. The beatdown after the match.
That, yeah.
Suplex City and F5. They were trying to say, oh, he pissed him off, so now he's beating him up. Like, no. I don't know. I didn't like the beatdown afterwards.
No, it's just cheap heel heat.
But it wasn't needed. Unless.
At the same time, it ties in with, okay, Brock got hurt, and it sells that. He's pissed off because he was turned into a believer.
No, unless it leads to something else. Unless this summons the demon.
Well, that's the other thing. People were screaming for the demon. You know, I was saying that's not going to happen in this one. You brought up a very salient point. I can see it happening, a rematch. And, yeah, he's going to come out as a demon.
He went on record on Monday and said on ESPN.com that demon was not coming. Mm-hmm. And people need to be aware of that.
There's part of me that would have wanted the demon just because I think it would have made this match a little less predictable. I think Finn going in as plain Finn just made it too obvious that he was not going to win this.
But his family was there. I mean, they were there. Why were they there? He came... Anyway.
So paint the whole family up like demons.
That would have been cool. I mean, the War Raiders got to have their friends be Vikings. I mean... You could have Finn's family be the demons. I don't know. Anything you want to add to this matchup, Mike?
Finn and Brock, they did the damn thing. Short and sweet, did the thing. F5, 1, 2, 3. I'm good. They had their match. And hate to say it, it was better than DB and Brock.
That's going to be subjective. Some are going to like this one like you. Some are going to like the other one.
Yes, two matches went for very different things, even though similar opponents for Brock.
I like them each equally for different reasons.
And then we get to the Men's Royal Rumble. Number one entrant, Elias. And he's doing it. We're getting really late into the show, and he's doing his whole spiel.
Oh, my God. Cut it short.
Even Corey Graves was yelling on TV, "We've been here for 4.5 hours. Elias, get on with it." And then the number two entrant, the world's greatest singer, the world's greatest entertainer, the world's greatest wrestler, ain't he great? J-E-F-F-J-A-R-R-E-T. Jeff Jarrett.
Grief.
It was sad as it was happening before he did his promo. I remembered the entire catch. Oh,
it's amazing because he hasn't used it in so long.
And nope. you know this is the WWE Jeff Jarrett because he's not in his tights. Oh, no, no, no.
No. God.
He's in the suspender tights. They made new suspender tights for him to wear.
And they didn't spend a whole lot on them.
No, they did not. But
they did look. It looked like they cut up a normal singlet and then just put like black electric tape for the J's. God, I was so scared. Like number three was going to be Honky Tonk Man. We're just going to have a jam session for the Rumble.
Give us the roadie. I wanted the roadie.
I got a funny feeling Honky Tonk Man is not going to be coming anywhere near a WWE event anytime soon.
Oh no, no,
no. So they were going to do a duet. Elias turned. Didn't happen. And Jeff flies all the way to Phoenix to take a guitar shot from Elias, cause Hall of Fame money.
Mm-hmm.
Keep him away from other people, so keep using him. Ain't he great? Shinsuke was three.
Yeah, you know, I would give you credit. Like it's a funny spot to use.
It was enjoyable.
Yeah. It's that old and new colliding, which we don't normally get. You know, it'd be like JBL squaring off with $1 Million Man. We never got that.
Yeah, I popped for Jeff Jarrett. That was fun. I enjoyed it. Shinsuke was three. Mike had Kurt Angle at number four. He didn't last long. But, you know, he was there. Kind of surprised he was in that early. I figured he was going to be involved with other people in this one. But apparently he was just a random guy in a match just to be there. Big E was number five. Coincidental? Because we all know Big E needs... Five. Get it?
About 10?
No, his gimmick in NXT was he needs five.
That was a little while ago. Some people may not remember that, yeah. Rock.
I know.
It was pre-pancake. No one remembers.
And cereal and everything. Johnny Gargano. Number six. Cool.
Awesome
to
see him.
Oh, I should mention Jeff Jarrett was Tim's. So there was that. Speaking of Tim, his buddy Jinder Mahal was in the ring, and then he was out of the ring.
Almost as quickly.
Samoa Joe came in, was a monster in this match. He looked good.
As he should be.
Kurt Hawkins was number nine. There was Seth Rollins.
Got an Elim.
He got an Elim. We'll get to that in a second. Seth Rollins was in.
Ty Dillinger's unconscious in the back somewhere.
Ty said nice number on Twitter or something like that to him. Then you had Titus O'Neil. Titus, we're on slot.
I do like they made a thing of that. I do like they actually did something with it.
Kurt Hawkins was underneath the ring at this point. Titus chased him underneath the ring.
There was no Hornswoggle this time.
No, that's where I thought Hornswoggle was going to be. I thought that was going to be his appearance, but he came out in the women's match. Kurt Hawkins runs back in the ring. Titus chases him in. Kurt Hawkins pulls down the top rope, but Titus is gone. And he took a hard fall. Kofi Kingston came in. He did some stuff. He did his, you know, stay in the ring spots. And
did
I think,
some stuff and things.
I think he actually, his foot actually touched on the wall.
Yeah, it definitely looked like he was out.
But camera angle show, he was still in, and then he was out. I don't know what him and Woods were doing.
Weird.
It was weird. So Woods came in at number 17. You had Mustafa Ali. You had Dean Ambrose. Number 15 was No Way Jose, and that's who I had. That was cool. Ray Canales was did better than No Way Jose, because, okay. Drew McIntyre.
Less interesting Adam Rose.
Drew McIntyre, Xavier Woods. Pete Dunne. Pete, watching this match, I go, I want to see Pete Dunne versus him. I want to see Pete Dunne versus him. I want to see Pete Dunne versus him. There's a lot of good matches.
Mm-hmm.
Including Pete Dunne and Dean Ambrose. I kind of want to see that. That'd be really interesting.
Dunne and Dean.
Andrade was in. Apollo Crews. Omega had Andrade. Apollo Crews was 20. Aleister Black. Number 21. A little bit of a surprise.
It was one of the names they were floating as an NXT surprise, and good pick, because, you know, it works.
Shelton Benjamin was in this match. Don't know why. He added nothing to it.
He has to do something.
He hasn't been on TV in months. I guess they figured, okay.
But the most notable thing about him in the match is that Cole couldn't tell him and Cruz apart.
Okay. That's a thing. Baron Corbin. Yay, Baron Corbin. Jeff Hardy. Rey Mysterio looked good in this matchup like he did last year.
Jeff Hardy came out wearing a shirt that looked like that red net that you get onions in.
I'm not going to say that you're wrong.
But
I so hate you.
Lashley. He was there. Then he wasn't. Good appearance in the Rumble for Lashley. I mean, he showed up.
He was definitely there.
Braun Strowman was in the match. He ran wild for a while in this one. And then Mr. Hiatus, Dolph Ziggler.
That was really worth blowing your last surprise spot.
Yep.
Randy Orton, 29. And then...
Oh, we know who 30 was.
R-Truth.
Wasn't he thinking that the main event was Elimination Chamber?
He did. He sent that on the pre-show.
Mm-hmm.
So he's out there. He's doing his what's up rap. Then Nia Jax comes out and beats him up. And Nia Jax takes his spot.
Okay.
She gets rid of Mustafa Ali. Cool. Fine. And then she gets in a stare down with Randy Orton. And everyone I know was going, Randy,
it's a rap. K-O.
Do it.
We then proceed to watch for a solid minute as the collective men beat up the woman.
Yep.
Well,
Ziggler with a super kick. 619 RKO.
Like, I'm genuinely surprised that they would show any offense, male to female, because they're always so gun shy about that.
But it's Nia Jax. I mean, she chose to be in that match. She attacked the man first.
Yeah, that's why we have, like, screwed up intergender matches. Where
it was all self-defense, right?
Oh, yeah, and old Nia would have broken their faces if they hadn't done that.
All right, I mean, she's broken. Yeah.
She broke a face, yeah. I'm sure a bunch of social justice warriors in the next 48 hours are going to bitch and complain about that entire thing. But
My God. Go watch Lucha Underground.
Yeah. Still episode 14. I think
you'll lose. If it upset you to see a man and woman fighting each other, oh my God, Lucha is gonna piss you off so much.
I know, it has Chavo Guerrero. It's awful. Anyway. So, Braun was left. Andrade was left. Ziggler was left, and Seth Rollins was left. Seth Rollins got put through a table at one point, because that got him out of the ring, so now he could do her thing. Braun was laid out, so she could still do her thing. Came down to Braun Strowman and Seth Rollins. It's Seth Rollins winning.
Ding, ding, ding.
It was a good match.
It was the Royal Rumble. Really strange. It felt like the men's was a bit of a letdown after the women's.
You're missing the surprise. Like, you got Aleister Black, you got Johnny Gargano, but you were waiting for a big pop of some sort.
Yeah.
Especially late. You got all your pops, you know, in the first 20-something. But you're
making me watch your show for 5 hours. Give me something!
You were waiting for a surprise. Like, there was all big talk on the internet. There was a big surprise coming in.
And it turned out to be Nia Jax.
It was Nia Jax. So.
Yeah, well, like the ending for the women's match was set up so well, though, because you get all the way to number 50, you've got a crowd chanting for Becky, and I start worrying that we're going to have another, like, missing Daniel Bryan moment. So they bluff you out into thinking that, you know, Becky's not making the match, and then they work it so that she gets put into the match, and it probably made the pop about, you know, like a good 50% bigger than it would have been.
Mm-hmm. So, there you have it. So, technically, I need a clarification. Was Becky Lynch number 28 technically, or was she 31?
Technically, she's 28 because she took Lana's spot.
Okay. Yeah.
So, written down GERD, she had number 28, so she got Lana correct, or Becky Lynch correct. And Aaron Foss had number 10, which means he got Seth Rollins as the winner. So, there's the bragging rights there. Tim, you want to go over the actual pick'em?
The actual pick'em. I can tell people who wound up where. Would you like me to do that?
Yes, Tim.
Okay. All Alone by His Little Lonesome in 13th place. Derek Biddle got 1 right, 8 wrong. Way to be, Derek! Tied for 11th. Chris P and Subway each won 4 and 5. 7th place tie led off by the 8 ball. It was accompanied by Lindsay, Sheila, and Vincent M at 5 and 4. 5th place was Michael. Shout out to Michael over on the other side of the Atlantic. And you, Rock, you both went 6-3.
Woohoo!
Mike, you tied Tommy C at 7-2 in 3rd place.
Wow.
Yeah, and tied for 1st place happens to be Tim and Omega. We each went 8-1.
I had a good prediction weekend.
He did.
I had a good prediction weekend, too.
No, he went well. He was, 5-0 last night?
Yeah, 5-0 on NXT.
Oh, you did? Hey, good job.
So, there you go. That's,
I batted 1,000 for NXT. I didn't get any wrong.
You didn't get any right because you didn't make any.
I didn't pick.
Yeah. All right. So, anything else we need to add before we wrap this up, Tim?
Just one thing. Next week, no show because it's the Super Bowl. We always, basically take the Super Bowl off because Omega forces us because he's such a fan of football.
Sure, that's it.
You're probably going to be the only one of us not watching the game.
Probably.
There you go. That's the only thing to add. 1 week I had is everybody enjoy the Super Bowl next Sunday night tomorrow, immediately following Raw at like 9:01 p.m. Mountain Time, 11:01 Eastern is the Raw Post Show.
11 p.m. Eastern, it's the Raw Post Show. We'll talk all things Monday Night Raw.
I gave you 60 seconds grace, man. Jeez.
It's hard to plug out. We'll be on at 11:01. I mean, no.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. various web happenings on Tuesday and Wednesday. Just keep checking the Twitter and Wild Talk Radio and Twitch to find out what's going on. Because sometimes these fuckers play Fortnite.
We do mainly on Thursdays and Saturdays.
Speaking of Thursday, another edition of the multi award-winning Rack Radio Show with your hostess, Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, we'll have our Royal Rumble.
Have a stroke.
I think so.
It's a blood clot. I'm working through it.
What was Lindsay's reaction to the Royal Rumble and lack of people? Find out. Tune in Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. You don't want to miss it. Check out the Rack Extra Reviews. Total Bella Season 4, Episode 3 will be probably available on Tuesday or Wednesday, something like that. Track Radio Show on all your favorite social medias, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, The Rack Radio Show on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Saturday midnight-ish, of course, we'll get to another edition of the Wild, the Wacky, the Unusual, the bunch of Star Trek geeks in Star Wars clothing. CB Radio.
What was the best hard-hitting award-winning movie? We debated that last night. What was it? Check out the archive at CBRadioLive.com. I don't know what we're doing this week. We'll figure it out. Midnight News, CB Radio, CBRadioLive.com, GreaterThanGreatTheBake.com.
There you go, Daddy-O. Yeah, follow Russ Talk Radio on the Twitter machines at WTR Sunday Night. Check out the Facebook. Facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night. Wild Talk Radio, at Wild Talk Radio on the Twitter. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network on Facebook. There's another one there, Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm on Twitter, not once, but twice, because it following me is so very nice. Check me out for regular, mostly harmless shit at Flames Forums. Yes, it's hockey, but it's also a whole bunch of other things, and it's generally kind of harmless. But I get political, and that's a different Twitter altogether, at Voicing Sanity.
Question.
Yeah?
Since when did they move the All-Star Game to Saturdays?
The All-Star Game has been played on Saturdays for a long time.
No, it's always on Sundays, isn't it?
Nope. Hasn't been on a Sunday for ages. Ever since they split things up, they discovered that the ratings are higher on Saturday. Traditionally, Saturday night is hockey night in Canada. So they decided, you know what? We get more ratings, not just in Canada, but for some reason in the States as well. Okay. When it's on a Saturday.
Okay.
That's fine.
Ah, that's cool. Yeah. I always thought the skills competition was a Saturday. That's, anyway.
Nope. The skills competition on Friday night. The game was Saturday. Well, the game. I don't even call it that. I don't even watch it anymore. So it's bullshit. Anyway, I'm done plugging Omega.
Are you? Wait. That was bad phrasing. Anyway. I'm tired. Just keep going.
There was a comma in there. Pink, shut up.
Is that what it was? It felt bigger. Anyway.
I can't believe it. You know, don't do that, Dad. You're just reinforcing Ross.
For more witty commentary, you can follow me over on Facebook at TJ Reviews, and everywhere else on the internet is TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel that's loaded with content. And for a little bit of extra content, there is TJOmega.net.
Jesus. Hold on. I'm not nuts. Tim is wrong. Tim is completely wrong. This was like the first year it's been on this Saturday because I'm looking.
No, I didn't know what you're talking
about. I'm looking it up because I was like, wait, doesn't make sense. It's always on a Sunday because it's on right after the Pro Bowl.
Oh, it's always been on Saturday. You're
looking
stunned.
It up. I'm
you're
looking,
drunk.
I'm looking
you don't know
it
what
up.
You're talking
I'm,
about.
I'm reading Wiki. Wiki won't lie. Tim was lying. It's not Saturdays. You're all wrong.
I was lying.
You're all wrong.
Not wrong, I lied.
Because it was like, I was confused when I saw Facebook post, oh, it's skills competition. Because that's the only thing I like of the All-Star Game. And I kind of missed it. So I was mad about that. All right, Mike, plug your stuff.
All right, so basically I have a thing for the Bible. For those of you, I have a Twitter page, the WTR Oreo, fuck the revival. I do have a thing now on YouTube called Powerhouse Championship Wrestling. It's on YouTube. Look it up. I do shows every Saturday night, hopefully. And I'm also doing another thing. You can look it up on Facebook, Dragon Honor Wrestling. Yeah, fuck the revival. Fuck Lacey Evans. You suck. And yeah, back to you guys.
Make sure you follow and subscribe, twitch.tv/WTRLive. As Tim mentioned, we'll be back in 2 weeks to preview Elimination Chamber. But make sure you check out all the fine programming here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Say goodnight, Tim.
Have yourselves a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.